We're really pleased to have Jeff Grable, who is a faculty member at Michigan State, my new godchild would say, a professor at Michigan State, who really is playing an extraordinary role in terms of the development of technology-enhanced teaching and learning on campus, not simply instruction, but teaching and learning. And I was fortunate to know Jeff when he was coming to Michigan State, and really was engaged in writing in the digital era, in the digital environment. And so that's been a while ago, mm-hmm. that you were a pioneer in thinking about that, well before all of us were, even me, were dealing with the technology. So it's really a pleasure to have you. As we thinking about the future, everyone thinks about technology and teaching, and they immediately go to MOOCs and mm-hmm. online courses and the traditional kinds of things. So if you and I are, we're three of us are talking, and we're imagining the learning environment of the future at Michigan State, what does it look like?
That's a difficult question. It's
President's
a great question.
Gets to ask,
yeah, you get to ask questions like that.
Yeah.
So I have some experience with learning technologies, and they seem to be the driver of a lot of conversations right now. And the research group that I was a part of, we studied them, we invented them, we spun a company out of the university with our out of our own research, our own learning technology. And so I've been hanging around both the university side and the ed tech entrepreneurial side for a little bit more than a decade. And we see a lot of magical thinking around that. And what the learning environment of the future is going to look like is going to be enhanced by those technologies, but they're not magic. They're not going to make things radically different, by which I mean really high quality learning experiences for our students are engaging experiences. They're caring experiences. They're experiences that challenge students, that inspire students to achieve their dreams. They're highly interactive, and they're highly engaging. That's what matters. And the question then about the future learning environment is, how do we construct more of them on this campus, on every campus, and how do we construct them with greater fidelity so their students are more likely to have an engaged and caring experience? And what is the value add of digital technologies to that? And I think there are spaces in which digital technologies add tremendous value in areas of feedback in particular, connectivity, engagement, and communication. But that can happen in a very intimate face-to-face experience, and it can also happen in a very large experience. So that's not maybe the answer that a lot of educational mm-hmm. technology people give. They usually give a sort of, this is going to change everything. We're all going to learn in MOOCs. All the universities in the world are going to go away, because if you could take an online course from MIT, why would you take any course from, you know, directional state university? But the fact of the matter is, there's lots of good reasons why you would take that course close to home with people who care about you. And there's also lots of reasons why those massively online courses are terrible learning experiences for people. So that's my non-answer answer to that question.
No, I want to sort of, because what one of the things that your answer reflects is the sense that it is really the values of Michigan State, and there's more to this than content.
Absolutely.
And MOOCs are good at content. I mean, I try to do some in Apple, in the iTunes world of going through. I've done a couple of Coursera sort of things that in weird topics that,
right.
And it even for somebody who I think reads well, which I would give myself credit for reading well, and for having some sense of analytical skills, the you sort of sample them, but you don't really always engage in what's behind the content. Mm-hmm. I've learned a bunch of facts I can throw out in lots of ways, but there's more to learning than content.
Absolutely. I'm actually glad you brought that up, because one of the questions I posed to the people who work with me last week is, what would ed tech conversations look like if we didn't begin from the assumption that education equals content delivery? And so for those who are listening to us, when they read articles and they hear stories about the future of education and the role of technology, listen very carefully how they talk about and characterize education. They do tend to understand it only as content delivery, when in fact learning is not about content delivery, and what we do on this campus is not fundamentally about content delivery. It's much more complex. It's much richer. We add much more value to the learning experience than content delivery, which is why a lot of people, when they look at MOOCs, see them as reinventing a publication model, not really a learning or an educational model.
I think the language is also important because you talk about learning, not about teaching.
That's right.
And it's often sort of the transaction of teacher to student, and as if it's also a sort of a gigantic receptacle, and just sort of even loaded up with all of these these pieces of information, sometimes analytical skills, but it's really about how you take learning and make it a common and shared objective.
I think that's one of the most innovative things we're doing at Michigan State right now, is that very simple shift of not beginning with teaching, but beginning with learning. And so when we ground all of our innovation conversations around learning and technology and, frankly, teaching in learning, and if we begin with learning and if we begin with student experiences and if we commit to understanding them and making them more valuable, then that opens up a whole set of conversations very early in a design or innovation process that are very difficult to have later. And it opens up possibilities, it makes difficult conversations easier, and frankly, intellectually, it has us focused on the right things. If we're focused on what learning looks like, what kind of learning we want to facilitate with these human beings in these environments, then we're in the right direction in terms of creating an on-campus and an online experience for Michigan State students that's going to be exceptional.
When I hear technology and learning, my mind kind of jumps to a desocializing the learning process. Can you help me understand how it doesn't, when you go across campus, some of the greatest opportunities are to be with students and listen to them talk about issues. And I know technology is involved in that process.
Well, it can be.
Can be.
Yeah.
Help me with individuals that may think technology equates to a desocializing in the learning environment.
Well, I think sometimes it can. And so a poor deployment of educational technology would, in fact, desocialize the learning experience for students and deprofessionalize teacher work. And so the forms of technology added to education that bother me a great deal are the kinds that do depersonalize and desocialize the learning experience for students. So if what we're doing in individualizing learning experiences, for example, is setting students in front of a computer and letting them engage with the computer, I'm not interested in that. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in high-quality feedback, and machines can help us a lot with that.
Sure.
But if we go back to where we started, really value add of a digital technology is we get more communication, we have more interaction, there's more socialization, there's more opportunities for collisions. Mm-hmm. And the students who work with me know that I believe deeply in collisions. And in fact, the innovation hub that we're building is engineered, the space and the work patterns that we're building is focused on engineering collisions. And so in my classroom, I want students bumping into each other and into ideas more frequently, not less frequently. And so socializing the learning experience is a priority. And if a technology helps us with that, mm-hmm. then I'm interested in it. If it gets in the way, I'm not.
But one of the things that comes, I think, with this is how do you use there are sort of two things. How do you take the time that people spend together in a thing called a class, a scheduled class, and make it not about the content?
Right.
Because you have to learn a collision philosophy. Let me use that your phrase. Because people are not coming to us learning that way.
Right.
They're merely more often sitting in a desk, doing the computer, you know, three math problems and you're done, mm-hmm. Piece. And then they think about these intellectual and service engagements as something outside the classroom.
Right.
And that language is, and I learn more outside the classroom than I did inside the classroom. So we have to sort of figure out how to teach people to work with those collisions and not be uncomfortable with those collisions. Because I hear the word uncomfortable, so I want to be more comfortable. And I don't want people to be comfortable because these collisions can be uncomfortable in terms of ideas and people and ways of thinking about things. But we also, to go back to Jeff's word, have to do it in a caring environment.
Right.
There's a difference between caring to make people comfortable and caring to make them able to learn more.
That's right.
And that's one of, I think, the biggest challenges higher education has in this current environment now.
Yeah.
And you have it with your student athletes.
I have with student athletes. I have with my own children. I mean, it's you know, a parent today trying to help their children learn is a challenge, and yet you want to be engaged. And that was going to be my next question is, while you're focused on learning at Michigan State you really have to dig deep into the early education process of what's being delivered to Michigan State, I would assume.
Yeah, well, we do think about that. I mean, and my children are the best test case, too. When Luana was talking, I was thinking about a conversation I had in the kitchen with my daughter last night, which is about the fact that she's uncomfortable in a learning environment right now because she lots of things come easy to her, and now things are not coming easy to her. She's having to work really hard, and she doesn't like that. And I said, well, I got to tell you, as a teacher and a parent, I'm thrilled, which is not what she wanted to hear.
Right.
But Luana's right. I mean, students come to us very shaped heavily by the experience that they're having in K-12. And those experiences are fairly passive in terms of too many of their learning experiences are passive. And I don't mean to beat up K-12 teachers. I continue to work with K-12 writing teachers, and it's been an amazing part of my own learning experience as a teacher. But the system that they're in, heavily focused on assessments, lots of top-down management of K-12 schools right now, means that they're a little overly focused on assessments and content delivery. So when they come to us, our students are expecting to sit in that classroom and be told what's on the exam, to be very exam-driven in their approach to learning, to be very passive in that classroom experience. And that time, that 50 minutes or 75 minutes when you have, you know, 25 human beings in there with a teacher and technology, that's an expensive 50 or 75 minutes.
Right.
Unbelievably expensive period of time. So we have to make an exceptionally valuable period of time. And my version of that is we have that's a space of collisions and activity of, you know, flipped classrooms, is a notion that I think most people are familiar with. We make that very valuable because it's very expensive. And then we offload some of the more passive content delivery moments to other moments.
I think that, you know, flipped classrooms are sort of become, even in K-12, a physical issue. We just,
right.
you know, put the teacher, we put people at a little group desk with a computer and not with a teacher with rows
right.
in front of them. And therefore, we flipped
right.
the piece. This is really fundamentally changing and turning upside down the learning model
yeah.
about what happens in a classroom and what happens outside of the classroom
yeah.
and how we're going to do this to scale. And that, and part of what Jeff was able to develop in his entrepreneur self was, how do we think about professional writing major? How do we think about writing in a digital environment more before it was fashionable?
Right.
Because it's not just about 144 characters. It's about thoughts and connections and ways of communicating that elicits response, not just as sort of the delete button on a mm-hmm. on a piece of information on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that creativity is important. But there, you've got a nucleus of faculty here, or just maybe more than you want, coming to the Innovation Hub after this is its second year, but its first real year of functioning.
Yeah, let me talk about that. I think hopefully the listeners will be interested in this. So we have a brand new entity on campus that I was charged with developing, which is the Hub for Innovation and Learning and Technology. And we just moved into our physical space a week ago. And we've been in a fairly quiet year of building a team and building a culture and building an approach to how we think innovation will work on this campus. And the short version of what we've been tasked to do is to help MSU reinvent itself as a learning institution. And the way to measure this innovation group is MSU a different learning institution in a couple of years than it is now? If it is, then we're having some success. And if it isn't, we're not. And we may need to rethink what we're doing.
And we can point to the neighborhoods. I mean, if you look at the engagement numbers from the Wall Street Journal, there's a lot of indication that the neighborhoods, the way in which we're taking a very diverse set of folks
mm-hmm.
who are mostly from Michigan, so they're mostly from this top-down mm-hmm. learning environment, and moving them into a different way, the numbers are very positive. So we're building from strength. And part of this is sort of, if you're thinking about the future and how we can prepare students for this 21st century, where the clock dilemma will be profound for them as changes occur around them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have a different way of acquiring knowledge or pieces of information and using it in ways that were never, I think, envisioned in at least in my lifetime. And so we talk about speed, but it really is just a clock dilemma to solve. There's also then how we sustain the fabric of a society when you could go off and be autonomized by your phone and the people in your phone, mm-hmm. and not really be connected with things around you. And you see that more and more as people walk around campus and they don't say anything to anybody around them. They just sort of stare at their phone.
Right.
And so that those things are okay. We're not going to say don't do that, but they've got to be connected to a broader piece in order to educate what are going to be the global citizen leaders, citizen scholars for the future, which is our role as a flagship university, a flagship public university. And so it's going to be really fascinating mm-hmm. to watch this. But I'm also watching the digital environment. Now, right now, when you started and talked with me about this idea about digital writing, mm-hmm. okay, and we can make a company about digital writing, all these ideas that you had eons ago now, it was really out of sync with the world.
Yeah,
nobody believed that you could do professional writing in a digital environment and make it real mm-hmm. and make it serious writing mm-hmm. and stand the test of writing with my pencil in a different way. And now it's the same kind of challenge moving forward. And people accept that as just a really good thing to do.
Yeah, they do. It's been, I mean, my contention, the question my grandpa always asked me was, son, would you rather be lucky or good? And the answer was lucky.
Yeah.
And I was just born at the right time with regard to my interest in writing and technology, because nothing has been more exponentially powerful or good for the place, role, and meaning of writing in our lives than the computer braided with a network. We write more now than we've written in any generation in human history. So computers and computer networks, these handheld devices we have, which we used to call phones, but are really writing technologies as much as anything else, the proliferation of writing in all of our lives in ways that most people don't really recognize. I was just born at the right time to recognize that this was a growth opportunity, and it has been.
So you and I are talking 5 years from now. What would you like to see happen 5 years from now?
At Michigan State?
Yeah.
I would like to see an important cultural shift, I think, in terms of how faculty and students understand their relationships with each other and with regard to learning and with regard to teaching. I would like to see that cultural shift to be one in which we have created much more inclusive learning environments on this campus. So the increasingly diverse students who come to us recognize that this is a home for them mm-hmm. and that this is a place which will care for them, and that that they can join this community of scholars and see this, that the world that they're entering as a part of their world. I'd like to see those a much more caring and rigorous learning experience for students, so that they understand when they come to this campus that they're going to be turned on their ear, that this is going to change their lives, and that this campus is committed to changing their lives for the better. And I would like to see us be widely recognized as leading the pack with regard to wise, careful, and effective use of learning technologies, and the effective use of learning analytics so that we make really strong evidence-based decisions about what we teach and how we teach and where we teach it. And the last thing about that culture, which I think would be really important, is that we are very risk-tolerant with regard to the experiments that we're willing to engage in and our ability to learn from them quickly. So we see learning experiences on this campus that aren't just 15 weeks and aren't just 3 credits, that they use time and space in very creative ways so that students recognize that to come to East Lansing is to come to a special place.
I think what's different about us in that view is that it's not our intent to make it a separate part of the university called Technology Inc.
Right.
Or Technology Global or whatever words you want to put on it.
Right.
We will do online learning and everything else that goes with it and grow that, quote, online learning piece. Mm-hmm. It is our intent to have more people succeed at a higher standard.
Right.
By using and changing this, the neighborhoods were a part of it. We're sort of growing into this, and have this combination of rigor and caring, which becomes a genuine MSU environment, the teaching learning environment, and do it at scale. Because
scale.
Socrates did a really good job of it on the log,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are some very small places that in when they have 400 total in their freshman class can, in fact, do that at a relatively good level. Yeah. But we need for America's success, for the world's success, for Michigan's success to do it at scale.
I think that's really the issue
we're struggling with.
I mean, it's never too late to learn, they always say.
Right. It's never
and
too late to learn.
Professors, faculty, right. Teaching assistants, coaches, yeah. assistant coaches. You even see this going on to, you know, outside of campus, of the learning continuing for those that are employing yeah. These students that are coming off campus of getting the maximum you can out of them is going to require that you at least understand, if not learn, that process.
Yeah, and I think the needs for learning are so pervasive and are going to continue. I mean, one of the interesting opportunities for Michigan State is to become a lifelong learning resource for Spartans everywhere. And this is where computer networks and digital technologies will allow us to reach Spartans wherever they are in the world. And that's an opportunity that would be an interesting one to mm-hmm. truly push on, is to become that lifelong learning resource for them. But that requires us to be nimble and flexible right. in a way that we haven't had to be, but we might consider it in the future.
I think part of it is, again, the scaling question.
Yeah.
I mean, because there, if you talk to the alums that came back last weekend, many of them were a lifelong learning opportunity for them. Or we do it in a content base mm-hmm. For business graduates or whatever. But we don't necessarily, if you're a business graduate, help you with questions about child development
right.
and that you might encounter, or right. how to think about learning analytics as you look at testing. And that makes a whole person, not just a better business person.
Right.
And that's really, I think, the trick about how we want to move forward, because we are doing a lot of this stuff already, but it's in these pods that are good, but not with the connectivity and the tissue mm-hmm. that make it sort of agile and flexible.
Yep.
And people can create their own module of learning by deciding I need this piece, and this piece, and pushing that together in a way that it is more customized for you mm-hmm. and not just our program.
Right.
And those are going to be really exciting times. And we're sort of an outlier in thinking about it that way, as opposed to thinking about putting online courses mm-hmm. or MOOCs.
Yeah, that's true. And the MOOC moment has been an interesting moment, and we've experimented and we've participated. But as anybody who knows what's happened, they've pulled back dramatically from their radical claims for upending higher education as we know it. And that was predictable. I mean, anybody who looked at what they were doing knew that they weren't focused on learning at all. But that doesn't mean that what we learned from that moment isn't serviceable and usable. I think there were a tremendous number of smart people. And one of the things I'm interested in is picking up what we learned from that moment and repackaging and rethinking it in an MSU way and making it useful for us as we engage the world.
Well, you know, we're so excited to have you as a part of Michigan State. The team you're putting together on the hub is not only impressive but growing.
It's growing.
And I think people will see the impact of this not in a isolated part about Michigan State, but throughout the way in which we do learning across the campus.
I hope so.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
it
was
Thank
a
you,
pleasure.
Jeff.
Thanks
yeah.
for having me.